Hey there, I'm Luis Miguel Echegaray, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. I'm filling in for Grant Wall. This week's interview guest is Joe Mansueto, who recently became sole owner of MLS club Chicago Fire. While we've got you here, make sure to check out Planet Football TV, SI's weekly video soccer series that I co-host with Grant. We have interviews from Carly Lloyd to Dome Torrent, debate and thoughtful opinions on the game we all love. That's Planet Football TV. Vamos!
Our guest today is Joe Mansueto. He's the founder of the global financial services firm Morningstar, and he recently became the full owner of the Chicago Fire after buying out Andrew Hopman. Joe, thanks for joining me.
Hey, delighted to be here, Grant. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, lots to talk about. I've been looking forward to this. A couple Fridays ago, I got a press release, as other people did, that had some expected news that the Chicago Fire was looking to move back into Soldier Field. But then in that press release, there was some completely unexpected news, which was that you had bought out Andrew Hopman to become the majority owner of the Chicago Fire. How did that come about?
Yeah, it came about rather quickly. So I bought into the team about a year and a half ago, June of 2018, and I bought 49% of the team. Mm-hmm. Andrew Hopman was my partner at 51%. And I didn't know if Andrew would ever want to sell his shares. You know, it's been fun getting to know Andrew. I've enjoyed working with him. He's a terrific guy. But he called me up in early August of this year, just a few months ago, and said that he had made a personal decision. He felt like the team was going in a good direction, moving downtown. He had confidence in me as an owner of the team. And he decided he wanted to sell his shares. Would I be interested? And so, of course, I raised my hand and say, absolutely. I said, are you sure you want to do this, Andrew? We're going to have a lot of fun over the next year moving downtown. It's going to be very exciting. Are you sure you want to do this? And he said, no, he's sure. He's talked it over with his wife, Ellen, and this is what they wanted to do. So after I confirmed that, I said, then I'd be happy to step up. And then in 24 hours, we worked out a financial transaction to buy the other half, and then it closed over the next month. So it all happened. It all came together and happened very quickly.
Would you say you were surprised that Andrew made this decision?
I was surprised about the timing. I thought eventually he might want to do it. And I guess the more I thought about it after we had the call, and he explained some of the reasons. I mean, he's based in Los Angeles.
Right.
He's not in Chicago. And so that's a more difficult situation for anyone. If the roles were reversed, you know, I'm not sure I would want to own a LA-based team. It's a little bit more difficult to engage. And so I could understand his reasons. You know, the timing did surprise me. And as I told him, hey, it's going to be an exciting year. Should you want to do this right now?
Now, how did you first get connected to Don Garber, the MLS commissioner? Because that's what I understand was sort of your first connection to MLS.
Yeah, and so to back up a bit, I stepped down from my role at Morningstar running the company a couple years ago. And so when I did that, one of the things I wanted to do was diversify my investments, invest in some other areas. And I wanted to invest according to my passions, things that I really loved. And so I identified soccer as one of those passions. And so I started to look for opportunities within MLS. And that's when I lobbed in a call to Don Garber and had a conversation with him.
And what did Don tell you?
So my mind went to expansion cities. MLS is growing, expansion. There were some rumored expansion possibilities. Sacramento was one of those, and I talked to some of the folks who put together a group there about getting involved there and started to look around. And so I asked Don about opportunities more broadly within MLS, and he said, well, there are two things that we see that make MLS teams successful. One is having a downtown stadium location, and two is local ownership. So if I were you, I wouldn't look around at Sacramento and these other areas. I'd go look at Chicago and go talk to Andrew Hauptmann and see if you can work out some arrangement. And so Don, I think, gave me what, in hindsight, was just outstanding, spot-on advice.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide on soccer, one, instead of investing in maybe buying a pro team in another sport? And then why an MLS team as opposed to, say, buying a soccer team in the Premier League?
Yep. So, you know, I got really interested in soccer, not when I was growing up. You know, I grew up in Indiana, not far from Chicago, and it was not an option for me growing up. It was football, basketball, baseball. And so I didn't grow up playing, but I have three kids, and when they were young, they started playing, first at the AYSO level. I ended up coaching a couple years, which was a great experience. They went on to play club soccer, high school soccer, and then I started to watch professionally, and I just got hooked on the sport. You know, I could see young kids growing up, just what an outstanding experience it was, you know, for my kids and other kids. You know, in some ways, football is too violent, baseball maybe a little too slow-paced, and soccer, it's aerobic, kids are running around, learning a lot of life skills, having a lot of fun, and I just became a big believer in the sport. And then as I started to watch it, you just get hooked. It's infectious. It's one of the few sports where I'll watch two teams, neither of which are my hometown team, hometown teams, play. And I just love it. It's just, you know, it's 90 minutes of nonstop action, and it's just great fun to watch. And so, you know, as I started to watch, you know, European leagues, U.S., the MLS league, you know, I started to focus more on MLS, maybe because of the time zone. You know, it's just a little easier being in Chicago. And so I started to really watch a lot of MLS and just really enjoyed it. And so and then when I was looking to invest, it just it seemed a little more close to home. You know, the European leagues are phenomenal, but it's just a little harder to engage given the distance, whether you want to go see the games in person or even watch them remotely.
I'm curious to know where you think MLS is going from an economic perspective. I mean, we've seen a lot of expansion in recent years. The league is simply a lot bigger than it used to be. You know, as Don Garber will say, especially with collective bargaining talks with the players union coming, that the teams are not profitable in most cases. Economically, where do you see MLS going?
I see it as having a very positive future. I wouldn't have made this investment if I didn't think that. And, you know, the slope of the line is a nice upward sloping line. You know, and it begins with that the product on the pitch. You know, it's a great experience. The fans who see it, the engagement level is very high. And I think over time that translates into positive economics. You start with a great product. If you don't have a great product, I don't know how you're going to get the economics. But I think MLS just has a phenomenal product, and we need to expose more people to it. As we expose more people to it, I'm confident they'll get hooked and just become lifelong, diehard fans. So I think, you know, fan engagement, fan satisfaction, you know, from that profit follows. I can't tell you the timing of all of this. Though if you look at the other leagues as for some guidance, you know, a lot of the other leagues, the teams were not profitable for many years. And then typically media deals get renegotiated and things jump up and the economics change. So, you know, I'm optimistic over time. The media deals will, you know, help drive economics for the teams. But also all the stadium revenues certainly are another big revenue source that should drive profitability. So, you know, over the long run, I think the teams should be profitable. But again, all the timing of all of this is a bit hard to predict.
You know, my sense has been that Chicago is a sleeping giant when it comes to soccer. And there's, you know, a fair number of other people who think this too. How do you go about awakening this giant?
You know, that's exactly right. That's the way I view it. And that's part of the reason I invested. When I looked at the Chicago opportunity, it just seems suboptimal to me that there's a huge soccer audience in this market, and yet our team was not engaging with our hometown MLS team the way it should. Mm-hmm. Just to give you some examples of that, take a couple of recent games in Soldier Field, the big stadium in Chicago. Chivas played Club America, two top Mexican teams, sold out, 62,000 fans. Mm-hmm. The Gold Cup final was held in Chicago. It was the U.S. men's national team versus the Mexican national team, sold out, 62,000 fans. So there's a big base of soccer fans here, but they're not engaging. And part of the reason is the stadium location in Chicago was suboptimal, mm-hmm. Located in Bridgeview. The stadium is very nice. Soccer-specific stadium is just hard to get to for the broader Chicago population. And so the premise was that, hey, if you could move that downtown, get something more centrally located, put a good product on the field, you could really drive fan engagement to a high level. And so when MLS does its research of soccer potential in the markets in the U.S., Chicago comes out either at the top or near the top of that list. So there's a big market here. We just need to tap into it.
You know, early on in the Fire's history, and even at times since then, the club has looked to sign big-name Mexican and Polish players to appeal to those communities in Chicago. Do you have any interest in putting more emphasis on that again?
You know, my focus is on winning championships. And if a Polish or Mexican player can help us do that, that would be phenomenal. But, you know, I don't think in terms of having a certain background, you know, drive selection versus, you know, what are the best 11 players we can field to help us win a championship. And they'll most likely be of a lot of international backgrounds. But, you know, I don't go about it trying to, I don't know, have somebody who's going to appeal to some audience in Chicago if they're not going to help us win a championship. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a meritocracy. And so whoever the best 11 players are that we can find, that's who I'd like to see on the pitch for the Chicago Fire.
You know, Chicago's on the outside looking in right now when it comes to the MLS playoffs. We're recording this on September 23rd, so that could change. Veljkopanovic and Nelson Rodriguez missed the playoffs in two of their first three seasons there with the team. Are you going to consider their futures with the club during the offseason?
You know, I've enjoyed getting to know both Nelson and Pano over the past year and a half. They're both terrific people. I believe in both of them. Nelson is our general manager president. Veljkopanovic, Pano as we call him, is our coach. And again, I'm supportive of both of them. You know, I think they'd be the first to tell you that the results this season haven't really been what they would have liked to have seen. Mm-hmm. I think there's some frustration there that I share. You know, I think we still have a decent shot at making the playoffs. As you know, we're just below the playoff lines, a couple games left. So we could still do it. So the focus is still on finishing this season strong. You know, that said, you know, at the end of the off season, you know, we're going to evaluate all areas of the club, just as we do, I think, every off season. But the focus right now is really on finishing the season strong and making the playoffs.
I think one question your fans would also have is, even currently, the Fire is the third highest payroll in MLS, so it's not like the team hasn't been spending money on players. Do you plan on continuing that?
Yeah, it's one of the things I'll give my former partner, Andrew Hopman, a lot of credit. He invested heavily in the team. As you point out, we've had one of the highest payrolls in the league. And, absolutely, I plan to continue that. It's a global arms race for talent in soccer, as you know. And so we want to field a very competitive team. And other teams are stepping up. And so we've got to run hard to make sure that we're fielding the best players and paying them competitively. So there's no plan to change that level of spending in a downward direction.
You know, one thing I like to ask MLS owners when I get a chance to interview them, some MLS owners are more conservative when it comes to how they think MLS should curtail spending on players in terms of league salary caps, things like that. Other MLS owners, especially newer ones, want more spending and tend to want some of the shackles to come off in terms of higher salary caps, things like that. Where do you stand on that continuum?
You know, I'm in the latter camp. I'd like to see less shackles on owners than more shackles. You know, we're in, as I mentioned, it's a global competition for talent, so you can't really protect MLS from paying competitively because we're competing with so many other leagues. One of the things that really drives I think will drive the future success of MLS is how competitive the teams are we place on the pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, candidly, we're a bit behind Europe. And so whatever we could do to narrow that gap, I think will drive overall MLS viewership higher. So I think it's going to be a good investment. So I think we have to be, we as owners, have to be willing to step up to invest what it takes to put competitive players on the team who are, you know, at world-class levels, and we can't be, you know, shielded from what players, top players earn in Europe or South America or anywhere else. And so the global market will determine what soccer top players earn, and, you know, if we're going to be in the game and have a world-class product, we're going to have to bear those costs. And so, again, I'm in the camp of fewer shackles rather than more.
That sound you didn't hear on the other end of the line is a fist pump from me, but I always like hearing that answer. In terms of the team's name, I know you've gotten this question because there have been talks that the Chicago Fire might change their name, especially in conjunction with moving into Soldier Field. Where do you stand on that?
You know, as we are moving downtown, you know, the front office thought it would be a good idea to take a look at the name, the branding, all of that. You know, that makes sense. You know, if you're going to change anything about the club when you move locations, you know, it's a good time to do that. And so they've been conducting a very thorough, rigorous process of talking to our fans, talking to the league, talking to marketing experts. They are in the final stretches of that process, and so I'll hear back from them soon on what they found. You know, my personal view is I love the name. Mm-hmm. To me, it has deep meaning as a Chicagoan. It's really what defined this city. It's the Chicago Fire of 1871. It cuts the core of it, of the identity of this city. And to me, it's about really persevering mm-hmm. through great adversity, just as those Chicagoans did in 1871 when they were faced with a burned-down city. You know, they didn't pick up and move somewhere else. You know, they rolled up their sleeves, they redoubled their efforts, and they rebuilt a city in a bigger, bolder way and built a world-class city. You know, it's interesting. If you go back and look just before the fire, 1870, St. Louis was a bigger city than Chicago. Hmm. So it's not like we were a world-class city back then, or even one of the largest cities in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, we weren't a top three market back then. We were, you know, we were on the map, but again, St. Louis was bigger. And so you have this devastating, you know, event, and the Chicagoans of the time, you know, rebuilt the city in a bigger, bolder way. And to me, it's that spirit of not giving up in the face of adversity, but pushing through, persevering. To me, that's the spirit that burns in all of Chicago. And to really build something great, no matter what obstacles you encounter. And to me, that's what the name Chicago Fire embodies. And I think is a great metaphor for our hometown soccer team.
Sounds to me like the name's not changing.
Well, that's my view. I mean, we'll see what their research says. Hopefully it'll align with that, but that's my view.
So you're moving back into Soldier Field. What are sort of your realistic attendance expectations for Soldier Field?
You don't think we're going to sell out every game at 62,000? You know, right now our attendance averages maybe 12,000 a game.
Yeah.
That's what we had the past week. I would, at a minimum, like to see us double that to 25,000. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could average that throughout the season, to me that would be a nice success. You know, for the home opener, you know, I've challenged the team, the front office, hey, can we sell out the stadium, 62,000? Mm-hmm. Really get us off to a bang of a start. You know, and so we're kind of working on plans, you know, to go in that direction. We'll see if we can get there on that opening day. But if we don't double the attendance next year, I would be disappointed. You know, it's a big stadium. You know, we may have to tarp off, you know, the top tier to give it a warmer, more intimate environment. But, you know, ideally, you know, the plan is I'd love to see us, you know, a la Seattle, Atlanta, you know, be able to sell out a lot of these games in coming years.
And how long do you want to be at Soldier Field? You know, this is obviously getting soccer stadiums, new ones built in urban areas. I live in New York. That's not an easy thing to get done.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be, how long do you want to be in Soldier Field, and how will you approach trying to build a new urban soccer stadium in Chicago?
Well, right now the focus is on Soldier Field. Let's make that work. You know, that's a Herculean task in and of itself without trying to think 10 steps ahead of yet another stadium. And if we can get Soldier Field to work, to me, that's the best of all worlds. You know, you'd have 62,000 fans at every game. It's you make it a warm, friendly environment. It's centrally located in Chicago. A lot of transportation comes nearby. So accessibility is phenomenal. You can walk from the downtown. And so if we can make that work, we can expose the Chicago Fire to a huge number of fans. You know, down the road, if we want to look at a soccer-specific stadium, create a neighborhood around it, you know, that's an option we'll have. So we've got that optionality. But right now, the focus is on making Soldier Field work and making it work in a very robust way.
I'm also curious to know just what the response has been from Chicago Fire fans that you've gotten since you became the full owner.
You know, it's really touched me. It's been such a warm, positive reception that I received. You know, I traveled with the team down to Cincinnati last week, and I went up to the supporters section. A bunch of fans took buses out to see the game there. And, you know, just the hugs and the warm welcome. You know, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but they started to sing, "I love Joe Mansueto," as I walked into the stands. I couldn't do their voices justice, but just such a warm, friendly group of people. Mm. And, you know, to me, that's that core that we want to nurture, that enthusiasm. These people are just hungry to see a championship team. They love the Fire, and we've got a great base to work with. But just a huge thank you to all the fans for, you know, just the warm welcome, all the emails, the positive comments. It's just been just humbling to receive all those.
I'm also curious about the market for MLS teams at this point. Obviously, we see the Forbes lists, which some people think are accurate in their valuations of MLS teams. Some people don't think they're very accurate. When you look across the board at the value of MLS teams for someone who wants to go out and potentially buy an MLS team, what's the range, in your opinion, these days? And I'm curious to know how much is the Chicago Fire worth on the open market?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I would say there's a lot of demand for MLS teams. As you point out, we're expanding. Miami, Nashville coming to the league next year, Austin the year after. Mm-hmm. You know, MLS has said they're expanding up to 30 cities. And there's a lot of demand for those teams. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's going to be a positive direction on team values. Mm-hmm. The expansion fee is currently $200 million. Mm-hmm. Put a number out there if you want to create a new team in a city. But then you've got to, you know, field the team. You've got to maybe either build or lease a stadium. So that's on top of that. You know, St. Louis just announced And they're putting, you know, a lot of money into the team, the stadium, you know. And so, you know, there, you know, we have not disclosed, in terms of your question, what's the Chicago Fire worth, mm-hmm. what the transaction value was. I'll talk about anything, but that's one number we chose not to disclose. So I don't know. I'm very bullish, again, on MLS team values. I think they'll go up. But if you had to look at one number, that $200 million expansion number mm-hmm. for just a brand new team gives you some, at least one data point.
Wanted to wrap up. Appreciate you taking this much time to talk. Just about the other MLS owners. You've been involved for a year and a half in this league. You're all in business together. It's a single entity system,
yep.
and there's board of governors meetings, and you're all strategizing together. Are there any other particular MLS owners that you've gotten to know and enjoy spending time with?
You know, I've gotten also a very warm reception from the other owners. As you mentioned, it's a single entity structure, so in some ways we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was in Portland recently, had dinner with Merritt Paulson, who owns and runs the Timbers. I mean, what a great guy. Just an outstanding individual. I've really gotten to know him over the past year. He's been super supportive, offering lots of advice. When I was in Cincinnati last weekend, spent time with Carl Lidner, mm-hmm. And just so warm, welcoming, offering advice. And I think every owner ends the conversation with, if you ever need anything, just pick up the phone and call me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy to, you know, work with you on any aspect. You know, the front offices of most of the teams kind of have good relationships with the peers, mm-hmm. you know, around the league, so they can kind of call them. And so it's a very cooperative atmosphere. You know, those are a few of the owners that I've enjoyed getting to know. I attended my first board meeting, MLS Board of Governors, in Los Angeles, and everyone was just so warm and welcoming, really outstanding group of owners. So proud to be part of it.
Lastly, is there anything you have learned in your career as a successful business owner that you plan to carry over to being the owner of the Chicago Fire?
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot. You know, I've learned how powerful a mission can be with an organization. Morningstar, mm-hmm. the company I founded back in 84, you know, our mission is to really empower investors to really drive their success. And I can see how a strong mission really gets everybody on board. Everybody subordinates their own interests to that of the company, and have a strong values within the organization underpinning that. So making sure that we've got a strong mission, you know, at the Fire, and a strong set of values about the people we employ and the set of behaviors we want to see, but really rallying people around, you know, driving to a championship and really promoting soccer within Chicago. And then making sure we've got the right set of values. And I think if you do that, you put the right people in the organization, you rally around that mission, you know, good things are going to happen. And so really it's that strong sense of mission, how powerful that can be in an organization, and then the underlying values, that those things are so important as you choose people, and to make sure that we look at every aspect of our organization, from the front office to the players, you know, every aspect, to make sure that we're world class in every role of the organization, and to really have high standards around that, to make sure it's a meritocracy, that we're getting the best people, and that they are, you know, aligned to our vision for the mission, and then behaving with the right set of values.
Well, every year I do my MLS ambition rankings for Sports Illustrated, where I rank from top to bottom what I see as the ambitions of the league's particular owners. The Chicago Fire are going to be rising in the ambition
it.
Rankings.
Yeah, on your power rankings. Yeah, move us up. We are ambitious. You know, it's funny. I did an all-hands meeting about a week ago, and the whole, you know, the front office was there and everybody. And Veljko Paunović, the coach, Paunović mm-hmm. sat in the front row. And I made him ask me a question. And his question was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you want to win? Paunović's a very competitive guy. And I said, 10, of course. Who would answer otherwise? And so, yeah, move us up. We are, you know, we're focused on winning championships. That's what motivates everybody. That's what makes sports fun. It's a very black and white sport, like all sports are black and white. And so that's the goal. We're all going to rally around it, really focus on it, but also to promote soccer. So we want to win, and we're going to do everything humanly possible to make that happen in Chicago.
Well, Joe Mansueto, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Good luck in Chicago.
Hey, super fun. Thanks very much, Grant, for inviting me on.
Thank you so much for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Joe Mansueto, as well as producer Brandon Nix, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this pod. Make sure to check out Planet Football TV, SI's weekly video series that I co-host with Grant, and check out the Monday edition of the Planet Football Podcast with me and Grant as we talk about all the weekend action. See you next time.